KUJZ is 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo. How is it going? We welcome you, Skidabop Bingo, of a nice Ivy League suit, to the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk on a Thursday. You know, as stoked as I was last Thursday, because we had the championship game, we really didn't have to do our regular show, and we did have to get up early. This is a really different weekend. I mean, you have a bye, it's a bye, but you're still in the middle of football season. Now it's like, we're not getting up early to do the Duck Talk show on KZL, waking up at 6:35. No game, no traveling, no lugging equipment around. I mean, it's a labor of love, but the first week you really don't have to do it. It's kind of nice. I told Nick, just in case anybody was wondering, this is kind of evidence for the commitment hearings that you know are coming my way eventually, that I think it was prior to we signed on, I walked past our promotions room where we keep all the equipment, and I kind of looked at the equipment and flipped it off a little bit, kind of like, I don't have to lug you around, I don't have to load you in my car, we don't have to do any setups, breakdowns. I know there's no games, which is always fun, and I do love doing the post-game show and the pre-game show. But like I said, that first week is just like, it's somewhat soothing.
Every time you would read your live read saying, hey, come out to IHOP, free duck pancakes, I would go, oh, that's right, I gotta set my alarm for tomorrow. And I would just dread. From that moment, whenever you read that, like, I have to be up at 6:30, so I'm at my car by 7, it's warmed up, and I'm ready to leave by 7:15, and I can drive the 2 minutes it takes me to get to IHOP. I was just in a miserable mood. I'd have some coffee, some free pancakes, I'd feel better.
Yeah, you get out of it.
But boy,
you know what? There's no negotiating if you're not a morning person. I set my alarm for golf and for travel and for IHOP. That's like, I can't think of when I've done that ever in recent years, because we don't have the kind of job where we've got to get here at 8 o'clock. You know, I generally don't even leave my house till about 9:20, 9:30. So, but yeah, there's a kind of a therapeutic nature to the end of the season. Plus, you also know the Rose Bowl's pending, which, you know, get to do this. That's kind of fun. So it's kind of like a gift that looms out there in the next, 3 weeks from today. All right. Anyway, it's the final hour on a Thursday. Now that we kind of wind our way through and brought you to this point, you could join us, 284-8571. It's the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You can hit us up via the text line 3210824, on Twitter at 953 The Score for the station, at Sports Talk 953 for yours truly, and Nick goes by the handle at Rick Nodgers. All right, lots to discuss. We'll elaborate, but first, yeah, let's kick off the final hour with a phone call and welcome in Lonnie. Lonnie, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Yeah, I just got to, just touch points on, the Tom Brady, issue that everyone's going to have with him being 43 and still in the NFL. So I think it's going to probably be like a Peyton Manning issue. I think he's probably going to have to probably go to the Denver Broncos, because Joe Flacco can't cut it for the rest of the remaining of his contract, obviously. or he can probably go to the go to the Colts. They have a good offensive line. Any offensive line that can protect him, keep him upright, hopefully. And they got playmakers at Denver. If you think about it, they got Freeman. They got I think only Freeman, but who watches Denver anyways?
Well, I'm just saying, is Denver at 5-8 right now? It was a little different when Peyton stepped into Denver. Was that 5 years ago? It looked like they were just add water to contend. I don't see Tom Brady walking into a situation where he's not 100% sure they're at least a playoff team.
Yeah, that's true. You got a point there, but you got to remember, though, the Patriots are cutthroat. They'll get rid of him if he's not producing.
Yeah, but if they determine it's the offense not producing or just him.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh McDaniels needs to step it up and get some more playmakers around him.
That's for sure. All right, interesting call, Lonnie. Look, in 2015 it was when they beat Carolina.
Yeah, but the year 2 years before they just got he had been there for 2-3 years before he actually won the Super Bowl and then walked away for, on the top for Manning.
Yeah, he played with them and they went 12-4 in 2014, got upset by Indy, and then was he there that year? Yeah, he was with them in 2013 when they went 13-3 but got their ass handed to him by Seattle. So, yeah, they – all right, I see where you're going, but, you look at the teams he walked into. They were really good.
I admit that they're, just thinking of the teams that will be able to contend and need a quarterback, they don't necessarily mishmash together very well for a fit for a Tom Brady next year. Maybe that comes into play. Maybe he says, okay, one, depending on how this season goes, one more shot in New England, let's get it done, and then I'll just walk away a Patriot forever like he wouldn't anyways. But I'm just... Be prepared for, I'm not saying it's even a lock to happen or, 51%. I'm probably somewhere in like the 10% chance of this actually happening, but I'm, accepting that there is a chance that Brady isn't a Patriot next season.
Yeah, he would be a stay-at-home husband. I don't think he goes from a Patriot to another team. And by the way, the bottom line is they are 10-3. So it's not like they've come unglued and they're playing out the string. You know, those knuckleheads are still thinking, we could still steal this conference. I mean, who do you really think beyond Baltimore is absolutely, Kansas City, do we really trust the Chiefs? Has their defense improved that much? And, they're still behind New England. So, I think it's more likely that New England gets bounced in the first round, their first playoff game, and they just realize we've taken this as far as we can go, and Brady decides to retire rather than join another team. My onion, my opinion. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Yeah, that's another thing. Probably feel comfortable going team by team. Well, not team by team. We're obviously not going to look at Kansas City or Houston or the Jets or, the teams that apparently have their franchise quarterback. How about San Diego?
Somebody tweeted us that he might do that because they do have
really.
They called also Bill Belichick Bill Bella, and then they used a bunch of the dollar signs and things. I think they called Bill Belichick by a different name. I don't see the Chargers necessarily, even though it would be like a splashy thing to have a big competitive thing with the Rams and their new shiny stadium in L.A. While that would be interesting for them, they're going from one aging veteran quarterback who tends to have it every third week now in Felipe Rios, and you're going to do that with Tom Brady? I know Felipe Rios, I think, is at the end of his contract as well, and they've got to make a decision as to what they're going to do. And do you really think that, 43-year-old Tom Brady is going to be that much better than 39-year-old
Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers?
Yeah, I'm not
39?
Buying it.
Yeah, that
somebody's texted, hopes he doesn't do a Brett Favre. The emotional press conference, and then he winds up on the Vikings. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
That would be genius by Minnesota. You play Kirk Cousins in all the games that mean nothing when he plays really well. You start Tom Brady in the big primetime games that Kirk Cousins can't ever win. Oh, that's spectacular.
Talk about, by the way, Brady would go for that, too. Let's bring in another phone call to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We go bring in Rob. Rob, good afternoon. How's it going?
Doing fine, thanks, Dave. No, he would have to go to the Jets to do pull the same. I'm going to stay in the same division. That was what was such a. I'm wondering. Well, first, here's my Buccaneers prediction. Where do old people go to retire? Florida. And so he can go help my Bucs get Jameis Winston out of there. Got nice big receivers to throw to, just don't throw as many picks as touchdowns. But I could really see him leaving, and we know how New England plays it. When Bledsoe got hurt, they never looked back.
Well, they also won the Super Bowl. That made it a little easier.
Well, I know, but didn't they do that with the quarterback? I'm trying to think who was before Bledsoe, but they did the exact same thing.
Well, the thing is, with Bledsoe, he got hurt, Brady took over, and they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, it wasn't like there was any chance they were going to, you know, at what point would they have kept Bledsoe because they had already achieved what they wanted. But, I don't know, before Bledsoe, you got to go back to what, the early 90s? Because Bledsoe was like the first pick in 94, so... Yeah, I'm not 100% sure who their quarterback was back then. Appreciate the call, Rob. You got to go back to 1993. Bledsoe was a rookie, and then so I guess it was the first pick in the 93 draft. My bad. Then New England's quarterback before then was Hugh Millen, but they weren't a very good team. Who's the new big gun along with Evans in Tampa? Goodwin?
Chris Godwin.
Godwin.
See, I was looking at the list of teams, and I saw Tampa Bay, and I just went, oh boy, because they have the weapons, the generally warm weather, which I'm sure Brady would enjoy. If you watched Hard Knocks, you would know that they're building an indoor practice facility, so he doesn't even have to practice in the rain if he doesn't want to, let alone Bill Belichick making these guys practice in blizzards. And even if there is snow on the ground, you still better be there a half hour early or you're 30 minutes too late even at that point. So, like, yeah, you rest easy. You got big Mike Evans. You got fast Chris Godwin. You've got a whole gaggle of running backs for the running game that Tampa Bay has been working with. You get to work with Bruce Arians, who really knows quarterbacks and his offenses. Oh boy. Plus Tampa Bay could bring back the creamsicle jerseys and Tom Brady and a creamsicle and an orange creamsicle jersey. Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Only one quarterback should ever be allowed to wear them, and it's Vinny Testaverde.
Fair point.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
Tom Brady to the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, we're set. It's Danny Dimes.
Who's got to win a game
before I'm allowed to wear my t-shirt. This is
What have you never is it the Giants have to win a game or Danny Dimes has to win a game?
The Giants.
Oh, okay. So you won't wear that t-shirt until probably September next year.
Well, is he done for the year for sure, do we know?
Last I looked, he was going to miss 2 to 4 weeks, and there's only 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about this.
You really want to rush your rookie quarterback?
Do I go like old school, like people used to do? Do I take the shirt and I put it like in a kind of a secure bag in a box on mothballs and just leave it in the top of my closet somewhere?
I think we should move it onto a hanger in the studio here, and you literally don't get to put it on until the Monday. Day after they win, and you get to look at it every day. You get to see the shirt is there, it's in good standing, it's in a good place, nobody's taking it, no moths are eating it, there's no moth balls involved, and it's just, I can't wear the shirt. My family got me this shirt and I enjoy it, I like to wear it, but my team is bad and I can't.
And they are bad now, man. This is the worst losing streak in the franchise's history, I think I read. And by the way, he was limited at practice today. So he's out there. There's still a chance that they could pull off a win in 2019. Me not holding many breath.
Who do they play to wrap up the season? Is it just like an NFC least just round table like they do at the end of the year with the NFL? Because even the NFL schedulers don't know which.
The bummer is they were playing Miami at home this week. That could have been a shot. Then they go to Washington, who's not finishing very well. And then they're home for Philly. And because of how bad Dallas and the Eagles are, there's really a good chance that that game has meaning for the Eagles, who they haven't beaten since the flood, even though they had them on Monday night and just whizzed the game away. God, these people.
I know you don't do wear other teams' gear bets, but would you ever do, let's say it's game 7 of the ALCS and a Boston Red Sox fan comes up to you and says, look, Steve, whoever loses this game, you know, if the Yankees lose, you have to wear a Yankees shirt once a day for the
a Yankee shirt.
But you have to continue to wear Yankees gear despite your team not being in it every day for like through the rest of the World Series or through the rest of October. Just your team isn't in it, but you still have to wear the gear every day and be reminded. Gotta put on
that,
my Yankees.
That wouldn't bother
gear.
Me that much.
Oh, okay. It would probably.
It's
me.
At least possible. It's not like, like I said, I would never make a bet where, all right, now I have to wear a Flyer sweater or a Cowboy jersey or a Red Sox uni. I mean, I'd rather sit in a pool of vomit. That's
Red
a pleasant
Sox jersey
thought.
Or cats?
Whoa.
Actually sitting in a pool of vomit or cats.
Give me time. I need to think about this. I don't have a definitive answer for you right now. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you wanted to jump in. By the way, they did go ahead and announce that Michael Vick is going to be an honorary captain in the Pro Bowl. I mean, there was like 600,000 people that signed a petition basically was like, no. And Roger Goodell came out and he used the M word, and it drives me crazy and will forever. You know, that he's made a mistake. And it's like, what's the mistake? The mistake is you turn off, you take the wrong exit, that you jotted down the wrong address, that you were balancing your bank account and you accidentally carried a 1 instead of a 2, and you know, you ended up with $10 off. I mean, those are mistakes. Mistakes, there was no mistake in what he and his scumbag cronies did in running a successful dogfighting outfit with the torture and the kidnapping and all the vile things he did. And Roger Goodell, that dirtbag lowlife, Commissioner CTE, to greenlight this, just, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, his commissionership has a stench and a taint on it for eternity. But anyway, somebody wants me to hang my Danny Dimes shirt from a billboard until the Giants win so they could drive by it every day. Do I have to be the guy that hangs out on a billboard until they win? Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Every day from 12 to 1, you have to stand out on the corner of Valley River Center and Good Pasture Drive wearing your Danny Dimes shirt, no matter the weather, just saying, I'm waiting for the Giants to win a football game.
Go
until they win a football game.
Giants. That's me shivering, by the way. All right. So have we missed anything else happening in the world of sports today? Duck lineman Penei Sewell is the first ever sophomore to win the Outland Trophy Award for college football's best interior lineman as an offensive lineman. The last 2 years, sophomores have won it. Ed Oliver of Houston, he won it as a true sophomore. in 2017. He's now in the NFL. And Quinnen Williams of Alabama, who won it last year, well, he was a redshirt, and because his class had been 3 years removed, he's also in the NFL. So, Sewell, yeah, wait a minute, how the hell could he, did I get my years mixed up? No, all right, I see what I did. But yeah, somebody had asked if Sewell was the first true sophomore, and the answer is no. Ed Oliver also played right off as a freshman, and then as obviously a true sophomore. So the fact when you think about, you know, he's coming back next year and is obviously going to anchor the offensive line because the other four starters in top reserve, Brady Aiello, are gone. I don't know about the sophomores. You know, Stephen Jones got some playing time. How much did Alex Forsyth or Ryan Walk play? Obviously, they've been recruiting exceptionally well in that area, but you know, no question about it, when you consider who is going to be the next offensive coordinator and knowing they're walking in, is it going to be Tyler Shuck? Is it going to be one of the quarterbacks who they recruited? I mean, as far as the arsenal with, you know, Ryan Bay is gone along with, oh my God, Jacob Breeland. I almost couldn't think of his name. I would, and Juwan Johnson is a senior as well. So you've got Jalen Redd, Johnny Johnson, Spencer Webb, Josh Delgado, Brian Addison, and you know Hunter Camp Moyer would be the tight end, and obviously in the backfield, Verdell, Habibi Leikio, and who else is thinking about in the running game? Oh, Travis Dye. Also, but, you know, it's going to be a new quarterback for the first time since early in 2016 and an all new looking offensive line aside from, you know, the left tackle who will be a junior. So pretty safe to say that next year will be his last. I mean, there's a lot of people I noticed on Twitter after the award was announced would be like, yeah, he'd probably be one of the first two players taken this year. So, yeah, well, you think about it. Beyond a quarterback, there's no better franchise player to kind of hang your hat on than a stud left tackle.
Well, if you assume it goes Joe Burrow slash Justin Herbert at one to Cincinnati, then the Giants are sitting there thinking, well, we drafted our number one running back, we drafted our number one quarterback, and now we get to choose between do we want the number one pass rusher, Chase Young, or do we want to build, you know, the left tackle, the blindside protector for our number one quarterback to help the offensive line with our number one running back. Yeah, it would be hard to see Penei Sewell dropping farther than third, maybe, in this draft. Like, I don't know if you know, where he would actually rank compared to the other offensive linemen. Maybe that is something the Giants still do anyways, and they trade down for some team that's super desperate for Chase Young at two or whatever, another quarterback looking for Herbert at two. But he would go very high. Like, you're talking... I
mean, now, like, after 2 years.
Yes.
By next year, he's going to have one written all over him.
Yes.
Depending
he's
on
gonna be that guy.
What happens with the landscape of the 2019 college quarterbacks. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll have a Coors Light update, and we'll have more sports talk, 95.3 The Score.
The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
56 million viewers to that NBA Finals, and they did nothing but lavish him with attention. And in true Kawhi fashion, he was measured in his reaction, and then he went out and absolutely gutted you with an incredible performance by his team. They are the deepest, best team in the league, I think, despite the fact that the Lakers have a better record, as do the Milwaukee Bucks.
Hey, DB, Doris Burke, ESPN, talking about Kawhi Leonard getting his ring, getting a rousing ovation and a bunch of love from the Toronto fans, and why the hell not? And then they gutted him. Welcome back. Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. Philly and Boston right now. That's the ultimate beat LA matchup, because that's where it was born of in the 1980s. And the back end of the TNT doubleheader is a rematch of last year's Western Conference, a semifinal. That was, I remember the night that happened, and so you're watching a game, and it just, in the 80s, it was so weird, because the East Finals would come down to the Knicks, I mean the, Freudian slip, I wish, come down to the Celtics and the Sixers, you know, the two teams I hated the most, and then I would just wait and, root for and hope that the Lakers won the West, so I didn't have to see them win a title. And then it was in 1982 when I'm not sure of, I'll check it out as we speak, but the circumstances under which I think Boston was getting sent packing by the 76ers. And, you know, the great thing about some fan bases is, yes, we absolutely love our team, but a real close second is we hate those guys. And I believe it was the first time in the history of the Boston Garden that they lost a decisive Game 7 in the playoffs at home. And they got their asses kicked. So it was really strange. So it's the East Finals. The Lakers had already won their way in. I don't think they got challenged much in the West. So Boston killed Philly in the first game. Then Philly won games 2, 3, and 4. They're up 3-1. Celtics won at home by 30. Then they went into the old Spectrum in Philly and beat the 76ers. So they come from down 3-1. And they're going back home to the Garden. And everybody's like, son of a... I remember being, like, angry. Like, these mother son of a... exclamation... take it. I know what's going to happen. And Andrew Toney goes berserk. By the way, I was looking at the box score just now. In that game, there were a total of 4 3-pointers taken. Could you imagine in a game that's, you know, is kind of tight going into the fourth quarter, that just not launching three after three after three? Toney scores 34, the good doctor with 29, Mary's Cheeks with 19, and, Philly kicks their rear end by 14, and all of a sudden, you know, in the last minute or so, you're watching the game back then. It was on CBS. Brent Musburger was probably calling it with, like, Garfield Hurd or Rick Barry or Bill Russell alongside him. And it's like, what are they chanting? And I remember Musburger or whoever the play-by-play guy, I'm pretty sure it was him. It's like, The Celtics fans are chanting beat LA at the Sixers. And it was like, as much as I hated everybody in that building that night, I was like, that's one of the coolest things I've ever heard. I don't know if there's a football version of that, because, you know, if let's say Oregon was in well, first of all, just if Oregon was in Seattle, let's say, playing the last game of the regular season, and the winner would go on to play. Would they chant "Beat USC"? It was kind of, that would kind of be like the Pac-12 version of "Beat LA."
I wasn't even thinking college. I was just for the. I mean, it would nobody in the NFL like chants. Like I don't know. Maybe they tried to do it.
Well, first
at
of all, you
got to
understand.
I don't know. It just
Lakers Celtics is a big time pro rivalry. There aren't many like it. There never have been. And it dated to the 60s through the 70s and, you know, into the 80s. And then the unique part about it was the bitterest rivalry at that time in the East was Philly and Boston. So for them to come into the Boston Garden and the Celtics fans get gutted like that. I mean, could you imagine how confident you'd be at that time? Well, you got Bird and Parrish and, you know, the Sixers. At the time, Dr. J and the Sixers had a reputation for, they got Doc in 77. They lost to the Blazers in a series everybody thought they were going to win. Then they lost again in 80 when they thought they had L.A. when Kareem got hurt, but Magic, his rookie year, played center and had the 36-point, 19-assist performance. And then they gagged again in 81, losing to Boston. So them blowing the 3-1 lead at that time was, well, they ain't going to win at the Boston Garden. Nobody does that.
I'm just trying to think. It would never happen in college football because just fans, they don't chant like that. The rivalries don't work. But even with the L.A., nobody also would ever call the L.A. Clippers L.A. I think it'd be beat San Diego. And also NFL fans, I don't think there aren't two teams that hate L.A. that would be like, yeah, let's unite over our hatred of L.A. Like Seahawk and Niner fans wouldn't ever do that to just start chanting beat L.A. or whatever. Two teams in the AFC, if they were like last year, the Patriots and whoever they beat in the AFC championship game, they wouldn't have chanted beat L.A. as their, you know,
right.
It wouldn't happen.
Somebody brought up
rare occurrence.
An interesting point. They said, in college football, and it has nothing to do with L.A., so he said if the Ducks were playing, say that the playoff involved Auburn and Alabama. So the team playing Auburn, and first of all, it wouldn't be a home game. So that also kind of eliminates that. So if the Auburn fans knew the team that just beat them was going to play Alabama, would they start a beat Bama chant? I'll tell you what. That's not bad, though. That's unique, but it would be in a neutral site stadium, yeah. So.
Beat Bama doesn't sound like a very good chant, though. Beat L.A. Like, that's
it's perfect.
Like,
only one that exists.
I mean, beat Bama technically does have three syllables, so, you know, beat Bama, beat Bama. I think it would be more
upbeat of beat Bama, beat Bama, beat
Bama, beat Bama, it doesn't sound very good.
The cadence wouldn't be the same as beat L.A. And beat the Tide, somebody said. Beat the Tide. Not bad, not bad. You guys are thinking. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Ravens on top of the Jets. Nobody saw that coming. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and bring in Josh. Josh, good evening. How's it going?
All right. Hey, speaking of those chants, one of the craziest ones I remember was when they had that what is now defunct Seattle Bowl that Oregon played in. I think they played against Purdue.
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. Okay. It was years ago. My brother got tickets to it, and he offered. I went. You know, I'm not a Duck fan, but I went. And there was a whole section of people dressed as Husky fans, dressed in Husky gear, and just chanting, beat the Duck.
Really?
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
All right. That's pretty good, actually. It is ridiculous, but I could see that. Just beat the Ducks.
I mean, it was like it was full level that they spent money to go to this bowl game just to root against the Duck. They had nothing. You know, no rooting interest in Wake Forest. It's just rooting for whoever was playing Oregon. That was all against who was ever playing Oregon. So
yeah, it was Wake Forest, and I'll tell you what. In a way, I kind of admire that. That's a good one.
Still, it describes the disdain that people should have for Husky fans and Seahawks fans. Let's not forget that because Seahawks fans are professional Husky fans. That's all they are.
Nice, Josh.
Hey, take care.
Take it easy. Beat the Ducks. Buying, you know, if you're there already and a chant breaks out, that's one thing. But it'll be like if there was a bowl game played at Autzen and Washington won their way in, would you go there and root against Washington? I mean, is it worth your time? And by the way, that was a miserable bowl game for Oregon. I mean, that year, started out. I mean, that was on the heels of what at the time was the greatest season in program history, the 2001 team, who in a lot of ways warranted a shot at Miami. And then, man, that year got away. They ended up 7-5, and Wake Forest, who at the time, I don't know how many bowls or how many bowls the Demon Deacons under Jim Groby had even played in at that time. I mean, they're a basketball school. That's Tim Duncan. Yeah, so they'd beaten Oregon actually in the Independence Bowl in 92. Then they'd gone to a bowl in 99. They'd been in one in 79. And the last time they had been in a bowl before that was the Dixie Bowl in 1948. So Oregon losing to Wake at that time was like, that was a rough one. And they got blown out, too. All right, by the way, the Jets just tried a field goal. I'm not sure if it was just a doink over the top from Ficken. I think somebody right up the gut might have got a piece of it. So, yeah, I don't know how short you could be there. Oh, my God, that's just a terrible kick.
Yeah, very sidewinder, the wind knocking it down, and then it landed at the goal line. So I guess you're whatever, how far you have to kick it, the hit it as that's hard as you did, but just make it 10 feet higher.
That's not an ooh, just a little bit outside. That is crap. All right. By the way, also, the accolades keep coming in for Penei Sewell of the Ducks, who became the first sophomore offensive lineman ever to win the Outland Trophy. 2 years ago, Ed Oliver of Houston was the first true sophomore but he played defensive line to win the Outland Trophy. And now he was named a first team All-American by the Football Writers Association of America and the Walter Camp Foundation. And I'll tell you what, good call by Jorgie and Joey Mack last night driving home talking about it, that had a sneaking suspicion that Penei Sewell was going to need like a separate wing on the plane to carry all his hardware. So he already got the Morris Trophy as the most outstanding offensive lineman in the Pac-12, voted on by the players, by the way. And then the Outland we mentioned earlier is the nation's top interior lineman. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you wanted to jump on in and be part of our daily hilarity. Couple of other things I wanted to get to, but right now, oh God, do I hate this GMC commercial, where the guy, the wife gets the matching Fitbits. And he gets them both $60,000 trucks. Can't even pick which color he wants. I like red. Be like, whoa! I'm taking the black one, honey. Sorry. I'm the one who just sprung for 120 large. I'm picking mine. I love it. Well, you'll love the red one. Trust me, you'll adjust. All right. Break time. We'll be back with the tweet of the day and a wrap-up of a Thursday. 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Yo, Doc Nick.
Hello, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. We didn't have Yay Day yesterday, but Steve, you still posted a picture from Green Hill Humane of Apollo and Artemis, who are brother and sister pit bulls, and Apollo is blind, and his sister Artemis, I think, is the girl. Maybe
yeah.
It's the other.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
his
yeah.
sister Artemis is his guide dog.
Yep.
They are family bounded together. It's incredible. I remember on their Instagram page they posted a couple photos about them, and it just, oh boy, if that doesn't get you, you don't have a heart, man.
Yeah, those pitties are something special.
So as always, green-hill.org for any of the dogs that are adoptable. If you want to give these two their forever home, they do come together. It is a two-for-one there. What else do we have on the Twitter today? From at Reddit CFB, quote tweeting, saying that Stanford offensive lineman Devery Hamilton is in the transfer portal. He's the 11th Stanford player to enter the portal since the end of the season. At Reddit CFB tweeting, if you're looking to start up a football team, you could now seed the roster with enough Stanford players to play Iron Man football. 11 guys, two sides of the line. Fantastic. Panay Sewell won the Outland Trophy. He's very good at what he does on a football field. Matt Preem asked the question, Panay Sewell, your number one or number two pick in the 2021 NFL draft? Thomas Grand tweeting, he's top two, and he's not two.
That's pretty good.
It's very good. But our tweet of the day from at a David Hale joint, tells a story about Joe Burrow, who's probably going to win the Heisman on Saturday. Well, he will win the Heisman on Saturday. A recruiting visit that Joe Burrow went on, said he went on a trip during recruitment, went out to dinner with Ed Orgeron. When they got to the restaurant, Orgeron found out they didn't have crawfish, so Orgeron had the restaurant manager go out and get 15 pounds of crawfish and cook it for him anyways.
Could you imagine? First of all, how'd the guy even understand what he said?
Oh, they probably have the same accent.
Yeah, that's true. I go out crawfish from a pal here. Yeah, oh, he wants me to go get 15 pounds of crawfish to cook for his future quarterback.
Beak Ogeron. So thanks to at a David Hale joint for sharing that fantastic, fantastic story about Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron. Can't get enough of Ed Orgeron stories. They're all the best. They're all different. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it. Choose kindness.
All righty. It's like the final scene of The Sopranos was filmed in a restaurant that it's in Wallington, New Jersey. And I'd actually been there before. It'd been years and years, but my dad and sister had gone there occasionally. And in the scene, Tony Soprano orders onion rings. And I forgot who it was told my sister. I was there. I looked. They don't even have onion rings on the menu. And my logic was, Tony Soprano ordered onion rings. You go find onion rings and just cook the exact amount he wants.
Onion rings overrated as well. Not very good.
Ooh, good onion rings. Very good.
Never had a good onion ring. I always bite into it, and then all of the breading comes off of the onion, and I'm left with a soggy.
They're not doing it right. You haven't had onion rings in Jersey.
I'm not worth. Well, I feel for you. I don't see myself going to Jersey
just for onion rings. I'm here. Where are they? TikTok Diner. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let us take a phone call and bring in the other Steve.
I thought I'd cap this off. You mentioned one of the most awful experiences I had in watching football. On that particular day that you're talking about up at the Seattle Bowl, that happened to be a year where our corners, or
defensive backs, yeah,
were somewhat less than stellar, and they got absolutely torched on long passes, bomb passes. I believe three of them were thrown successfully against our team, and it was, as you said, it was a runaway.
No, that was the year.
Not much fun whatsoever.
No, that was the year. That was after, you know, they had Steve Smith and Rashad Bowman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, they had great defensive back.
The year before, they had a terrific lineup, a terrific defense.
Yeah, and they missed.
The other thing that made it memorable, and not in a great way, was we had a bunch of Huskies sitting behind us. We booked scalper tickets instead of sitting in the end zone. We got scalped $30 a piece, which was okay because
right,
of the going rate. And so we're sitting there, and there were Huskies behind us. There were also some rabid Duck fans behind us. And pretty soon they were about nose to nose. And I was there with my son-in-law. And this yakety yak was going on back there, and I didn't like the direction it was heading. And so I stood up and turned around, and in my gruffest schoolteacher-type voice, I said, "Gentlemen, let us have a little restraint back here," just like that. And they all kind of gulped hard, sat down, and shut up.
Wow.
I actually calmed the waters with that. I thought probably going to get poked in the nose for this, but it's worth a try. But at least we were able to not enjoy the rest of the game for what was going on down on the field.
Right, you had enough misery on the field. You didn't need it in the stands.
Exactly my point.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Easy. Take it easy. Yeah, that was the year where Oregon falsely led themselves to believe that they had already become a reload program. So the guys who played on the 2001 team, Rashad Bowman, Steve Smith, Keith Lewis was still, he was like the more veteran guy on the 2002 team. But if you remember correctly, the two guys who would actually go on to play some decent ball for the Ducks. In 2001, the secondary had Keith Lewis, Rashad Bowman, Steve Smith. I'm trying to think, was it Marley Tucker? But anyway, the freshmen who were kind of thrown to the wolves a little bit in 2002 were Justin Finnessy and Aaron Gibson, and Stephen Moore was a sophomore. It was a very young secondary, and yeah, they experienced some severe growing pains. All right. Earlier, we were talking about the possibility of Tom Brady joining another team or getting cut or wherever. And somebody, in poking fun at Nick, said the San Jose Sharks have a better chance of winning the Stanley Cup than Brady does of having to play for another team. And this guy, who's a regular texter, really does some good stuff, and we appreciate him listening. And it says, he says, "I didn't mean to be a jerk and take a cheap shot at the Sharks." And then he LOLs it. I was like, "You totally did." He's like,
You're a Patriot fan and like you felt like I was attacking you because you personally like follow Tom Brady's TB12 lifestyle and like you're Tom Brady. I was not taking a shot at you, and you came at me with my team, my Sharks. I'm wearing their hat, and you attacked me for no reason.
Not a lot of way to know that on radio.
I had a very Sharks hat vibe about me today.
The Sanhizians. Sub 500 this year.
They're not good.
That would be a no. So anyway, thanks for hanging, everybody. Thanks to Steve Mims and Aaron Fentress for joining us on the morrow. A Friday at you. 95.3 The Score.